CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
And now, WrestleChat.net presents the North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned by...
You're giving me a headache there, fella. You can go back to the lab with Dr. Bunsen Honeydew. You got that, Beaker?
Me.
Is there a problem here, fella?
No problem.
No problem at all.
I didn't think so.
How are your heads, sir? How's it going? Can't make the family reunion this year. No, man. Listen, do me a favor, will you? Please tell Aunt Teresa I said hello, yeah? You're a good man, you're a good man. Great to see you. Oh, well. Perfect.
And with that, Edge either has great foresight or was having way too much fun on one of those family history websites leading up to this past Monday night's Raw. But we will talk about that in just a moment, as we are here in the most sensational, inspirational, celebrational, confrontational. This is what they call the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Heyman. And let's see, who do I have here tonight? Let's start with my Floyd from way down here in Texas. That would be Typho.
Hopefully I'm not too distracted tonight. I'm waiting on a very important call from Johnny Ace. Apparently he's going to put me over John Morrison on Superstars next week.
I could mute you right now, but I'm not going
to. It's only the next logical step for Morrison, I think.
No. He'll get a manager. I'm working on it. Let's see. On the other hand here, man who has escaped his chair shot for the week, VRM.
And who also escaped the weirdest forecast and actual weather in October history in the state of New Jersey.
No, not a firestorm.
Yeah, so we had a tree in our front yard that, like, five huge branches that were basically the size of the small tree itself fell straight across the street. It was still on the tree, and it was on the power lines. The power lines didn't come out, it was right on the pole, but it was just looking at it, like, how did it not pull out the power lines? I was like, this was a bad weekend, and I'm surprised. I'm wondering, I'm sure they have their own power, but does Titan Tower have power yet?
Even if they don't, it sounds like Johnny A still has his cell phone charged. Just keep watching your messages there, Typho.
I'm anxiously waiting.
But meantime, I need to point to our number three over here, the man who probably would have given a chair shot to a Muppet. That would be Mr. Brian Henniger.
It's time to lace up our boots. It's time to put on tights. It's time to meet old Nikki on the NAWC tonight.
It almost works.
Yeah. How is everyone doing on this fine, fine, fine Friday evening?
Well, I know I'm doing quite well, and, you know, despite being under a few inches of snow, it sounds like VRM is still alive.
Oh, no, we don't actually have the snow anymore. It's just that it melted quickly, but still.
How Jersey got snow before Minnesota, I'm going to be puzzling for a while. But I puzzle no further, as I will take a look at some actual wrestling. Anybody who did not watch this past Monday night's Raw is not a fan of either wrestling or the Muppets.
Or they're a fan of football.
Granted, who was playing Monday night?
The Chiefs and the Chargers in a turnover-laced game, 8 of them.
I probably would have switched the channel anyway. Typho, would you be surprised if I told you there was 40 minutes of wrestling on a Raw with guest hosts?
A little bit, yeah. Given the guest hosting history.
Somehow they managed to wrangle just under 41 minutes of wrestling into Monday Night Raw, despite apparently contractual obligations to how much FaceTime the Muppets would get on screen. Brian, any of the Muppets you wanted to see?
Well, if Jillian Hall was still around, I would kind of like to see her do a duet with Rolf the dog.
Typho, go ahead.
Well, if only to see a recreation of the famous Muppet Show bit with him and Fozzie doing "I Don't Got Rhythm."
That actually I would have enjoyed. Typho, any Muppet stuff you would have wanted to see?
I think we needed a little bit more Gonzo than we got.
Yeah.
The fact that the report said that we weren't getting Gonzo at all, I'm actually kind of happy.
Maybe more Animal as well, but he may have had some wellness issues.
But do they wellness for Red Bull? No, not that I heard anyway.
Although someone in the actual WWE got a wellness pop, we'll get to that later, I hope.
Yes, I'll add that to my list of the other 25 things that we are going to try to cram into this hour. But before we move on, VRM, was there anything Muppet-related you would have liked to see?
Probably Gonzo in front of, with Michael Cole, if you know where I'm going with that.
But Crazy Harry wasn't even on the show. Well, yeah, but Crazy Harry wasn't on the show either.
Yeah, you have Gonzo murdering Michael Cole on a PG show.
Well, now, to be fair, Gruber once blew up R-Truth.
It didn't stick is the only thing. No, this is all we got regarding Michael Cole.
You know, the only thing worse than listening to Michael Cole is nothing.
We're all in sync.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'm going to say it. They officially get the second greatest guest host ever award from me. The number one to me will always be Bob Barker.
Mm-hmm.
But the Muppets, they had the perfect mix of the silly Muppet segments with the serious wrestling segments. You were right. If you weren't a fan of this episode, you are not a fan of wrestling or good humor, because everything meshed perfectly.
And despite this, there was a little bit of grumbling online about the booking for the show, and I'm like, okay, what was wrong with it?
They bumped the Michael Cole challenge. That's what's wrong.
Wow.
I'm a little distraught about this, especially since somebody has pointed out to me that there is a pretty good chance that JR is not going to get on a plane to go to London for next week's Raw, which means we might not get JR Cole till Survivor Series.
You know what's going to happen with this, don't you? Remember about 2 years ago, Little People's Court?
Yeah.
They promoted it as happening next week. It didn't happen. A couple weeks go by, you think you're in the clear. And then boom, there it is. They're just going to string you along until you've hoped they've forgotten about it, and then they're going to hit you with it. And they're going to hit you hard.
I'll be fine with them hitting me with it as long as they're not going to take up pay-per-view time with it.
And as long as Michael Cole is no longer on Raw.
Exactly.
Are we going to have the two-hour party if that happens?
There will be a two-hour party if indeed Michael Cole goes away. But, I mean, completely goes away. Not shows up on SmackDown. Not shows up, you know, if he shows up on the following week on Raw, then we just, you know, then we will just find something new to do to him and stuff him back in Room 101. But I will also...
What if he shows up on Impact?
That won't be... You know what? They can have him. They'll just think Don West lost weight.
I can hear it now. Wait a minute. There's Michael Slaw. But what's he doing in the Impact Zone?
He just won the world title.
Is he old enough?
He might be. Maybe him and Garrett Bischoff could win the tag titles.
Yikes. There was something... Oh, yeah. The WWE.com put up a photo gallery of a bunch of the wrestlers posing with the Muppets, and I'm just, you know, I'm just picturing some of the just some of the fandom going on with the wrestlers, because we know that, you know, most of these guys, you know, most of these guys grew up seeing the Muppet Show or, you know, watch Sesame Street, you know, like most of us. And, you know, bonuses like Vicky Guerrero arguing with Miss Piggy. Somebody called that last week. And apparently, I never did go back and re-listen to last week's episode, but Sheamus and Beaker, I'm going to stop and pat myself on the back.
I don't mean to toot my own horn, but I called it! Woo!
It's like I said on Twitter to someone, I said, a lot of my childhood questions just got answered.
And bonus points for Edge for suggesting it so many months ago leading up to this. Let's see. We had one little bonus from the show, and that is the fact that the Rock has agreed to be John Cena's tag team partner at Survivor Series. Now, given the way his promo started, unless you are a subscriber to WWE Magazine, you thought that he might turn Cena down flat. Unfortunately, the ads were already in the magazine. Shades of the Jericho issue. Just thought I'd bring that up.
Yeah.
So, let's see. What else can we mess with?
Oh, by the way, Nikki, I gotta ask you something. Are you looking to maybe apply for a new job?
They took the posting down before I could get my resume together completely.
Well, actually, it's now on the WWE.com feature page, the general manager job posting, which, again, me and Jim are talking about this Sunday. WWE is finally jumping into the whole internet and social media, using it as a means of sort of continuing their storylines.
Right.
They should have been doing this at least 5 years ago.
Well, it's a matter now that they've finally got somebody in Titan Towers who gets it when it comes to social media. And unfortunately, somebody showed Twitter to Vince McMahon, and he just kind of fell head over heels in love with it. And then he got mad when nothing trended on Monday.
I just looked at some of the requirements. Some of these, I mean, I think, Nikki, I think you're perfect for some of these. Look, 10 years experience in sports entertainment or related field, i.e. daycare or zookeeping.
Okay, and I think I almost still fit the bill. Go on.
Okay. Excellent communication skills. Must be fluent in Spanish, Japanese, and or Leprechaun.
My Japanese is okay. My Spanish I need to brush up on, but my Leprechaun is really good.
Yeah, well, and I think Rosetta Stone offers some really good courses now.
Right.
Okay, comfortable working in fast-paced, deadline-driven environments where brutal sledgehammer attacks are not uncommon.
I think I can handle that.
Yeah. Working knowledge of WWE product, superstars, and legends is very important. You'll like this. Must know, quote, who that hardcore guy is.
And if I don't know who that parkour guy is, nobody is.
Okay. See, aptitude for mediating disputes between parties through meetings, disciplinary actions, and the occasional I quit match.
I only use I quit matches when John Cena's involved, but okay.
Ability to tell twins apart.
If the Bellas are standing next to each other, I can tell them apart.
Really?
Yeah, and Typho, I know Typho can tell them apart at a distance.
And this, bachelor degree required, world heavyweight championship reign preferred.
Okay, I have a bachelor's degree. I have managed tag team champions, but never an actual A-belt champion.
Well, I have to look at that. The WWE has a comprehensive benefits package that includes mental, dental, and vision insurance, which is more than the wrestlers get, but can't be held responsible for injuries sustained on the job, including but not limited to RKOs, World's Strongest Slams, and the occasional pile driver.
So my medical does not cover workman's compensation. Is that legal? I'm going to have to research that, but after the show's over, I might have to go look this up and apply. Or, actually, Brian, link me, and I definitely will check this after the show.
You got
because
it.
Because I will move if I got that phone call or text. I don't know if Laurinaitis, you know, hires and fires via text messaging. Typho, you got anything yet?
Not yet. Still waiting.
Okay. Let's see. Something that has come out is WWE's third quarter numbers.
Yeah.
And ain't pretty. A lot of stuff is down. A lot of stuff is down. Not a whole lot is up, although they did... I know it has been pointed out there were small jumps at WWEshop.com when certain merchandise was released, like a certain white T-shirt. Whoever thought a white T-shirt would sell on WWE Shop? No takers?
At least it's not an orange T-shirt.
No. In fact, Cena's actually gone back to basic black. And for once, it's not a Retread Austin shirt that's actually outselling everything. It's the Retread DX shirt. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be nice. Pay-per-view numbers were down. Let's see.
SummerSlam lost, what, 50,000?
SummerSlam lost just over 50,000. Money in the Bank actually had a gain of 30,000 viewers. Night of Champions holds steady at roughly minus 4,000.
You can go on pay-per-view to pay-per-view doing the same matches over and over again. Doesn't increase buys?
It's an alien concept, Typho, I know.
So I thought if you just threw a last man standing stipulation on something, buys would just jump.
Yeah, usually it does, but you're right. Let's see, marginal.
It also doesn't help when you have. I know that these are two pay per views that bridge into Q4, but still, it doesn't help the fact that you have three pay per views within a 7-week span.
I think that's the biggest problem is having them so close together. And those of you guys who happen to have their IMs running the day that I blew up at Dish Network over the fact that they wanted to put a pay block on my account, because these pay-per-views ran so much together, they thought somebody was stealing my satellite feed. Let's see. Event revenue is actually up. Pay-per-view attendance revenue is up. And it's up almost, is this in millions? Yeah. They are up almost, what is it, 56, 4? They're up almost $7 million in pay-per-view revenues. Venue merchandise has held steady. Television rights fees is up. Television advertising is down, although, no, I can't even blame the fact that NXT, you know, is this because they lost NXT and Superstars? Because that's two more hours where they could sneak in at least another 15, 20 minutes of advertising time.
You know, I was reading on WrestleChat.net, which you should all be checking out, by the way. I should point that out.
Yes, please do.
I read that they are losing something like $9 million in ad revenue because superstars in NXT aren't on TV anymore.
According to this, it's the incoming revenue is close to $4 million that they're losing. But that's, you know, this might just be quarterly, but still, it's a huge hit that WWE should be taking a serious look at. I think they should try to get superstars back on TV. I really think they should. I think NXT, they should just go ahead and give it a mercy killing.
Season 5 is the most epic ride we've ever been on.
Well, I
can put superstars on WWE Network when they get it up and running next year. That way, they're not going on some obscure network that half the country doesn't even get, WGN America.
Right.
And it's their network, so they can add it up the wazoo. And not actually lose money in putting the ads on TV.
Now, trust me, I agree. I would think getting superstars over there would be great. NXT, if they're actually going to do something with it, instead of this being the competition that never ends, it goes on and on and on, my friends.
They just keep adding people.
It's a small revolving door down there, too. So I just, you know, I have not watched NXT short of the one episode I was actually at a show to that I couldn't really avoid it. So
NXT Season 5 has been going for so long that from when it started to now, I think something like 5 to 6 people who were on the show at the start have been released.
Yeah, that's how they're eliminating people nowadays. I'm just joking.
Ed Marie was the co-host. Chavo Guerrero, Vladimir Kozlov were pros. Lucky Cannon, Jacob Novak were rookies. None of them are employed anymore.
And Maurice, well, that sounded, that judging from what little I've been able to read about it, sounded like it was a mutual thing. They didn't have anything for her, and she either, you know, she already had a very lucrative modeling career that she could go to, not to count, you know, the fact that she's had medical issues over the past few months, and the whole stalker mess. I think we covered this last week, but still, it's still kind of relevant.
Yeah. Speaking of the WWE Network, have you heard that one of the shows they've come up with for it is they want to do a Big Brother style reality show featuring a house full of former WWE legends?
Iron Sheik.
That's my first thought.
Iron Sheik, Rowdy Piper,
New Jack,
Brian Blair.
I dare them to throw Johnny Ace in there.
Duggan.
They could probably get Duggan back.
Nuka.
God help us. Would Steamboat be available?
I'm in the deck.
Get Volkoff in there.
It'd be a fun show, but I wouldn't be able to understand a word anybody says.
Just the first season, though, it should just be all the former evil foreigners. Just be like Sheik and Volkoff. Go see what Colonel De Beers is doing.
Holy crow. Now, at least Vince is thinking ahead when it comes to the network, as he actually took a moment and bashed the daylights out of the OWN network. I do have the quote. Let's see, you're saying, okay, let's take Oprah, but let's not use her and what she does best. Let's just put the name on it and then throw a whole bunch of stuff on there. Essentially, Oprah started the network, went and picked out a bunch of shows that she liked, and said, here, I bet you'll like this. Here, I'll bet you'll like this.
I do hope Vince leaves Oprah alone, or we're just weeks away from a Oprah impersonator with a Fudgy the Whale cake on Raw.
No. I have a volunteer. I will call Jabari and tell him that he needs to call up Norris and say, hey, Super Oprah needs to be on TV. I'd watch. I don't know how many people would get it. But it'd be fun.
A handful.
Most of us in the Ohio area. Although, speaking of networks, and I will get to Ohio, probably won't be able to get to Ohio until the second half of the show. Although, speaking of networks, Sinclair Network is throwing some money around to get some more markets. They got their hands on a group called Freedom Communications. Nearly $400 million dropped on this. This is going to open up some... where are we going? West Palm Beach, Fort Pierce, Florida, Albany, Schenectady, and Troy, New York.
I don't live up there anymore.
Let's see. They are also taking a very good look at WWHO Columbus. Guys, I'm already gone. Although, do me the favor and buy it anyway, because it sounds like independent wrestling in Ohio is really going to be a mess here in the near future. It's just, you know, it was just so facepalm worthy. I will get to that momentarily. I really want to talk about it, but I know that somewhere down the line that our pesky general manager is going to interrupt me. So I'm going to throw this in for somebody who cited this. You know, by the way, Sparky was actually aiming for you, Typho.
Great.
For your Jomo comment at the beginning of the show. WrestleChat.net, go there, not now, after the show, had a short article where someone did speak to Jomo about his situation, his losing streak, as it were. First of all, the man's not getting buried. Admittedly, he has not won a lot of matches, but it's not like... Down boy! Down boy! Down. Oh, dear, oh, dear. I don't know how he got out again.
Nikki, I keep telling you, two sets of logging chains. Two sets.
That isn't cheap. You know that's not cheap.
Well, I'm making money now. I'll buy you one.
Okay. Just order it through Menards. They deliver. I'll take care of it. Let's see. I can't find that silly article.
I found it.
All right. Throw something in. Throw it my way, please.
Oh, what, on AIM?
Yeah, if you could. Because I am going to take a moment. I need to take a moment to talk about Jomo getting his mojo back. And I'm not going to make a Powerpuff Girls joke. Okay. Let's see. Yes, Jomo has had some issues of late. Hasn't won a match since August. Has fallen to the likes of Cody Rhodes, Mark Henry, Wade Barrett, and Alberto Del Rio, and most recently Drew McIntyre on Superstars. Thus your reference, Mr. Typho. Am I correct?
Yep.
Okay. Jomo's response to this... to these problems. I came back a little too early. Physically, I'm here. Spiritually, I'm out of my mind. I've got all these things going on in the periphery. I just need to cut everything off and get back to square one. What was it that made me want to get into this business as the little John Morrison? I've lost touch with that. And for me to be a success, I have to get it back. Now, he said little Johnny... and not little Jimmy.
Heidenreich's coming back.
Ninja, please.
Doesn't work that way, but I have a feeling, like, I've got my fingers crossed, and I'm hoping that this means that all of these rumors about Jomo's contract either coming up at the end of this month or at the end of the year, that he is going to re-sign and that maybe he can get back on track to where he was in February of this year. Where it's not going to be that poor parkour guy. Damn it, Booker. I'm almost glad I didn't hear that the first time somebody had to tell me about it. And whoever told me about it needs to be slapped around a little bit.
Speaking of slapping someone around,
may I have your attention, please? I have just received an email from the anonymous general manager on my Nintendo DS Lite.
What? Let's see. And I quote, I'm hearing you marking out over Jomo again, and you know that this is just a news show. If you want to see some marking out, you should have heard this.
Whoa, whoa, whoa! You know it!
Because as you know, the only reason they left the cameras on in the arena after Piggy and Kermit said this is because there was nothing left of the backstage area when Zack Ryder heard his catchphrase spoken on the air by two of his heroes. Are you kidding me?
It's a mark out moment! A mark it out, bro!
Because if you had had a catchphrase of yours spoken by icons of Americana, what would you have done? Probably the exact same thing. So you need to sit back, calm down, and think of more serious things while the show does a little bit of shilling. So, gentlemen, I think we need to listen to the general manager. Sit back, relax. We've got some ads to run. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
You're listening to the North American Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net.
I'd rather hit you with the phone and chat mail.
I have to hit you again.
On the CLW83 Network.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW, ROH, and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
Humble Beginnings.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to a pilot, as it's called, a test show, for our new wrestling show hosted by me, I'm Carlos Jr., and...
This is the leader of the Sigma Fan Nation, Robert Seidelman.
Yes, the now-famed Robert Seidelman Fan Nation, or whatever. we are testing this show out to be possibly a weekly thing, separately here. This is all about wrestling, its history, what's going on currently, and all that fun stuff.
Hey, if you want to get on the action, you can call the number 718-664-6589. And if this pilot is successful, we'll be moving this show into a different account and have it separately than the other stuff that I do here. But tonight, we're going to start this show with the current news.
and that is what happened tonight at the SmackDown tapings / ECW live event. And I think Rob can start off here.
Yep. Actually, probably one of the best things that could happen out of a crappy situation is how I'd like to call it. Wouldn't you say so, Carl?
Yes. What's happened here, folks, is we have two injuries to two of the top stars on SmackDown, that being The Undertaker and Mr. Kennedy. So, Taker was going to drop the title anyway.
Please join us on December 2nd as we celebrate 200 episodes of the North America Wrestling Connection presented by WrestleChat.net. Starting at 10 p.m. Eastern, only here on the CLWA3 Network. Tune in.
Williamswear is now a part of the CLW83 Network and is proud to offer official CLW83 Network merchandise. Go to williamswear.clw83.com. Click the CLW83 Wear button and browse through an ever-growing, ever-changing selection of items dedicated to your favorite CLW83 shows and websites. The BS Big Show, the NAWC, Game Show Garbage, and many more. All available at williamswear.clw83.com, the official online store of the CLW83 Network. Tune in and shop right now.
Exclusive interviews and thought-provoking discussion on pop culture and reality TV. Listen live every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific, to Pop to Reality, where pop culture meets reality TV. Hosted by Jeff Weiss and Mark Roberts. Pop to Reality on Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Chris Clark, and you're listening to the CLW83 Network. Tune in.
Yeah, like that joke hasn't been done 50 million times already.
And we are back on the North American Wrestling Connection as we are up to episode 197. Chat room, help me out. Is this episode number 197, please? According to my count, it should be. I could be wrong. But we are leading up to episode 200.
We have next week after Thanksgiving break, and then the second, yes.
Okay. December 2nd, 2 hours, our 200th show. We have indeed come from humble beginnings, as I have tried to listen to earlier parts, earlier episodes. Had a good time with them. Still looking for something funny, which means I've listened to most of what I've had to say. But we'll get there. Those of you, you three, I know, Typho, you've been with the show for a long time. VRM, you've been with the show for a long time. Brian, you're fairly new, but you've already hit us with a few gems. The fact that you've got a freaking T-shirt on Williamswear.
Yeah, Nikki, I was going to suggest something. We need to remake the NWO commercial where I go, buy the shirt!
Jim Williams, if you're listening, this can be arranged.
Only if there's a shaky black and white camera involved.
This is radio, man. We don't need that.
Got the large double X sidey size.
Maybe the Big Show standing in the back wearing one with his arms crossed.
I could only hope. Although
Spooky, can't hear you. I'm much late.
Whoops. Hey! Somebody's bored. Just because we're off topic. Alright. Apparently somebody wants me to actually start talking wrestling stuff, so I will. A little bit of bad news from the Ohio area. An enormous steroids bust. It apparently covered Ohio, Indiana, and some parts of Kentucky. It involved 30-plus individuals, including a professional wrestler. The wrestler's handle was Chris Carnage. And he's a big guy who I had worked with periodically when I was still working for Jimmy Yang at Pro Training Wrestling, and saw him as recently as spring of this year at a memorial show run by Bellman. Now, I will say this much. Normally you don't talk too much about what goes on in a locker room. I'll just say this, that a lot of people would make jokes about him being on the juice. And I would just shrug my shoulders at it because I hear that on the internet all the time. In fact, there's a great big argument on the fan boards about whether or not the wellness policy is a joke. And I would think that with Evan Bourne out for 30 days, some people would shut up about it. But this kind of hits close to home to me because this is, you know, I don't know how much this is going to skew the independent wrestling scene in Ohio. Carnage wasn't a huge name, but he did work. He worked for Heartland Wrestling. He worked for Pro Training Wrestling. He showed up in most of that area. I know he was good friends with a gentleman named Sean Casey.
I've heard the name Sean Casey.
Casey was part of an NWO-ish group with Heartland back in 2007. I believe Carnage was part of that group. Matt Anoy at the time was working there as a character named Chemo, who was part of that group. I forget who else was involved, but there Cody Hawk. That's who else was part of it. But I never thought I'd be working in a locker room with a steroid dealer from The Wrestler. And I wish I could say that as a joke.
Yeah, here's some of the scary things. I did a little report on this for my show last night. Some scary things in here is, like, there was a stay-at-home mom that was involved in this ring.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was like a hardware store manager. I don't know the exact article that I was looking at last night, but there were a lot of people, and when the cops finally broke in on it, it was they think they seized like it was from Forbes. You have, where is this part? I can't find that part of the article. But $600,000 worth of steroids, $300,000 worth of cash and vehicles,
mm-hmm.
semi-automatic firearms, assault rifles, ammunition, shotguns.
Roid rage?
Well, the whole thing, this just is just huge. There was rumors that, you know, part of the bust, they had found out that some of the materials for sale were going to high schools. Here, I've got the article from WrestleChat.net, which they had taken from an article from AP. Let's see, drug trafficking, drug possession. Those charged include a bank manager, a financial planner, a delivery truck driver, a professional wrestler, Mr. Carnage, a health club manager, and the stay-at-home mom previously mentioned. $600,000 in steroids, $300,000 in cash, in vehicles, assault rifles, other firearms, some for security and some for personal collections. Now, I have a follow-up article on that. I hope I still kept it. Yeah, here we go. I have some follow-up information for this. This is taken from WCPO.com. This is a website based to a Cincinnati television station. Video arguments and court hearings for many of the suspects in the steroid bust took place just this past Wednesday. Hearings for about a third of the 32 indicted suspects for Operation Bulk Up were held at Warren County Courthouse. Most of those arraigned pleaded not guilty and were released on their own recognizance. Some have received bonds of up to $10,000 as their cases are going to continue. Let's see. Punishments could be prison time for up to 10 years. The Warren County Drug Task Force said that the steroid ring was actively selling drugs to high school students in tri-state and around in the tri-state area, meaning Ohio, Indiana, Kentucky, and around the country. I mean, this wasn't a fly-by-night operation. This was big business.
Okay, let me ask you one quick question, though.
Yeah.
Who in the world stockpiles an arsenal that would rival the craziest militia because of steroids?
If this was nearing $1 million underground business for these guys, tax-free, I'm betting some of these guys would have defended it with their lives.
Yeah, but you know, you're stockpiling weapons, ammunition, all this other stuff. Yeah, no way that's going to arouse any suspicion.
It just depends on how you do it, because it seems that they had the right individuals, judging from some of the day jobs of those involved. A bank manager and a financial planner, how do you cook the books? A delivery truck driver knows which boxes are what.
And also knows how to fence it.
Precisely. And a stay-at-home mom who can take and ship orders.
Yeah, just watch an episode of Weeds.
It just, you know, it's kind of scary. I just, you know, it just boggles my mind how far-reaching this is. And that to be, you know, granted, I didn't run into carnage very often, but to think that, you know, the guy sitting next to me in the locker room would have all this stuff put away. It's kind of spooky. Typho, where do you think this is going to go?
I would assume it can't go anywhere good, I wouldn't think. I mean, if you shut down this one, are there smaller ones around that'll just take it up, or... I mean, I don't think you can completely eliminate it.
Let's see, VRM, do you think this will have any larger national impact?
Well, considering that supposedly that drugs were being shipped in from China, I'm thinking there might be even some international impact. Sure, it might only be minor on the international level, but this could be the start of some big investigations around the country. This could only be the tip of the iceberg. I mean, if this ring had $1 million worth of assets, because basically that's what it was, about $1 million worth of assets seized.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, this could be part of something a lot bigger.
And, Brian, do you think this is going to impact the larger organizations?
Well, WWE for all of the huffing and puffing the internet wants to say, I think they are taking this whole thing a lot more seriously than we think. Because, as much as you hate to say it, the Guerrero-Benoit situation was a real wake-up call. So they've been a lot more serious on all this. TNA, I hate to say it, it may take someone dying for them to wisen up. The independent promotions, when I think of the independent promotion and drugs, I always think back to this story that my buddy Kelvin used to tell me all the time, which if he's listening, hi Kelvin, he tells me the story that back when the USWA was working with WWE as independent, somebody walked into the dressing room and said, okay guys, WWE is going to be coming in here today to, you know, from now on, so they're on a drug testing kick now, so you guys got to make sure you're not doing any drugs. You know, drug testing is very serious now. And one of the workers looked at him and said, dude, drugs? Do you realize how much we get paid? We're lucky that we have food on our table.
Which, as I'm gonna make another come across another observation that somebody, I'm gonna tie this into the big argument that I saw about how the WWE wellness policy is supposedly a joke, just because guys like Mason Ryan, Triple H, John Cena have never been listed for a positive test. Yet here we have Evan Bourne, who's out for 30 days, but I don't believe his wellness vacation is because of steroids. Is he like the second or third guy that got busted for the synthetic pot?
That's what people seem to think. All the three recent ones, everyone seems to think that's what it's for.
Which, maybe one of you guys can shed some light on this for me, because as far as I know, the synthetic stuff is not formally illegal.
I don't even know that there is synthetic marijuana.
There is.
Well, you can tell how out of the loop I am when it comes to drugs. I still watch Cheech and Chong movies, but you know, here's the thing. The only thing like that I've ever heard of is there is a drug that they give cancer patients called Marinol, to make them hungry after chemotherapy, which is essentially a marijuana pill.
Mm-hmm.
As Nick Gulas always talked about, marijuana pills. But I'd never heard of synthetic marijuana. Please enlighten me.
Well, apparently there's companies out there that are making synthetic versions of psychotropics and some narcotics and selling them at head shops. There's a head shop here in town that was featured in our local paper, because everybody goes there to buy synthetic pot, because you can't, you know, of course you're going to get arrested if you got the real stuff. The problem is... Go ahead, BRM.
There is a temporary ban on a few of the compounds, JWH-18, JWH-73, JWH-200, CP-47947, and cannabis cyclohexanol. These are compounds that are found in synthetic marijuana. The DEA did have them scheduled under using emergency powers. They are under Schedule 1.
Okay.
Until next March. And if you remember a few weeks ago, three football players from LSU were suspended who tested positive for synthetic cannabis.
Okay. Yeah, so I just, you know, like I said, I didn't know the actual federal status of this, because here in Minnesota it has been an issue. They did it, like I said, they had this big article about a head shop here in town that does sell the synthetics. And the fact that we have actually had a couple of deaths in this area from synthetics. Relatives of the deceased have been petitioning to get this place shut down. And the owner's like, my stuff ain't illegal, you can't close my doors. So we'll see where that goes. I just, you know, my complaint till this has been clarified for me, so thank you, gentlemen. Marijuana is even more illegal than these synthetics, yet supposedly they're only being fined for standard marijuana. Shouldn't they just be fined for synthetic marijuana?
It would make sense, but I don't know.
I would have
their wellness policies, so I guess whatever they want to do.
Darren?
I would have to say that the synthetics pose the greater risk here, since obviously there's synthetics, there's more chemicals that maybe people don't know exactly how all of it reacts with the human body. So I would say that the synthetics should have the greater punishment than the regular.
Well, it's something that I think we're gonna need to keep a really close eye on, and hopefully that, you know, we're not gonna be reporting another. The last thing I want to be doing is reporting another wrestler death over something as simple as this. Let's see. I'm gonna try to end the show on a couple of positive notes. I've got a couple of things. First, to those overreactive, over-snarky bottom feeders, the number threes in the IWC world, I do not want to see a single post about how bad SmackDown was this week when I can sum it up as DBMESD. Daniel Bryan main evented the damn show. And Randy Orton was a curtain jerker. What more do you want, guys?
Yeah, but Daniel Bryan didn't break Triple H's legs.
But the Evil Doc's already on the shelf with a supposed broken vertebrae that he'll actually have healed up by the end of the year.
I know. I'm just, you know, trying to be uber Mark there to have a little fun.
Oh, no, you're fine. We all know where the Evil Doc is. Evil Doc is down in Miami, and he made a phone call because he actually wanted to have some company.
What are you looking at?
Hopefully not another DX reunion at the big on sale tomorrow.
Speaking of which, are you going to be buying your tickets tomorrow?
I am not going to be purchasing tickets tomorrow. I am looking into another avenue that will get me much better seats, although it might also turn out to be a bust. So right now my WrestleMania plans are kind of up in the air. I will have more information as the weeks go on, though.
Yeah, my WrestleMania plans, unlike last year, involve me, my sofa, two pizzas, and my television.
Mine are all pointing towards next year, Cowboy Stadium. What we need to do.
BRM, you got any WrestleMania plans, or are you going to try to sneak in New York for Survivor Series?
Yeah, it's already too late, I think, for me to get to try New York. I think I might even be working. No, I'm working next week and not Survivor Series weekend. But I think I might be able to actually try and get in there, but I doubt I will.
Because I realize I know it's sold out, and the Roxina thing has pretty much put a lock on the door. But if you can get in there, VRM, let me know.
Right.
Because as of right now, the only other show that's even on my docket is a Raw up here in Minneapolis in February. So trust me, I'm a little anxious to get myself into another wrestling event.
Let me StubHub and just see if StubHub has any Survivor Series.
go ahead. You know, we can go ahead and talk about that in archive while you're working on that. Typho,
oh,
want to hype
yes,
your show?
They do. They do, from 112.
Oh, the lowest price is 112?
Yeah.
That's for nosebleeds, I'm sure.
Yeah, level section 419, which is, well, I know it's not really a Tron, because they never really bring a Tron to MSG.
No, they just have the video doors, right?
If they use the side entrance, yeah.
But, let's see, how about we take care of this in the closing minute? Typho, you got something to hype?
Of course, Tuesday night Typho, every Tuesday night, 10 p.m. Central.
VRM, would you be interested in hyping something?
Yes, Thursday. Thursday, WrestleCraft Sports Digest, Week 10, the NFL, Giants-Patriots, the big game, and maybe more on the BS that Michael Jordan's trying to pull, the traitor to the players, as it were.
I might have to tune in just to hear that myself.
The Hitler mustache is going to his head.
Yikes. I'm not even going to comment on that one. I'm just going to just ease us into archives. So, gentlemen, that's another episode in the books. Thank you for being here tonight. So that takes care of us for another episode of the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. We're going to jump into the archives, so there might be some bonus material for you guys to come back to the website and listen to. So for Typho, VRM, and Mr. Brian Henniger, my name is Nikki Heyman. Good night for the moment. So are we now in archive? Why, yes, we are.
One step closer to being the longest-running weekly episodic podcast in Blog Talk Radio history.
So who do we have to beat, and how many more episodes do we have?
I think I think it's Bobby Bunky's Musical Monkeys. We have about 40 more episodes to take that one down.
Fair enough.
Does Gunsmoke have a podcast?
Not that I'm aware, but I don't think they can count their on-air their television episodes towards their total, can they? That'd be cheating.
The Gunsmoke, they can do whatever they want.
Yeah. Although I did hear once that Hop Singh was a guest on a cooking podcast once. And
sorry,
nobody got that. Okay.
I apologize that I do not get that.
No, a Hop Singh was he was the cook on Gunsmoke. He cooked for I tell a lie. Hop Singh was a Asian who was the cook for the Cartwrights on Bonanza. I apologize for that.
No. So just for that, we now do not have to laugh at your joke.
Trust me, it's not a new feeling.
Well, then I will cheer you up with some good news. The fact that Monday Night Raw had 40 minutes of wrestling is pretty awesome.
Yes.
How would you like to hear that SmackDown beat that total?
What?
SmackDown from Greenville, South Carolina. This is according to my numbers guy, Mikey. Randy Orton, Cody Rhodes street fight, 23 minutes, 32 seconds. Ted DiBiase.
And it was a damn good match, by the way.
I will even say that, because and you know how hard it is for me to say that about a Randy Orton match. DiBiase, Tyson Kidd, just over 2 minutes. Alicia Fox, Natalya, minute and a half. Barrett Sheamus, 10 minutes and 30 seconds. Mystico Epico Schmaz, 2 minutes and 17 seconds. Mark Henry in a DQ effort over Daniel Bryan Danielson, 6 minutes and 24 seconds, for a grand total of, ladies and gentlemen, 46 minutes 30 seconds.
And that's not even the half of it. The don't ask me how I know that I have connections. The total running time of SmackDown this week was like 1 hour and 16 minutes. That's not kind of the commercials and everything else. So that means over half of the show was wrestling.
And that plus Raw's totals of just over 40 minutes means that this week's WWE programming had more wrestling than an entire quarter's worth of Impact.
Yeah, they're busy trying to get Garrett Bischoff over.
Yeah, get Garrett Bischoff over and turning Bobby Roode heel again.
Which surprisingly actually brought the ratings up for Impact. They actually had a slight uptick this week.
I think Ronnie from Jersey Shore being there.
He
brought the ratings up.
I think
to go from a 1.05 to a 1.053.
No, actually, it went from last week was 1.14. It went up to 1.27.
This is 2 weeks following the 1.35. But the 1.35 we can discount because that was the Bound for Glory post show, which everybody probably tuned into that to see what happened at Bound for Glory instead of actually buying it.
And was subjected to 8 minutes of wrestling.
Yet
and
somehow
a 40-minute
Bound for Glory Impact.
And a 40-minute opening promo segment.
You know, I remember back when WCW was doing their death throws. Somebody once noted that, like, one of their three-hour Nitros had, like, less than 15 minutes of actual in-ring competition.
That would not surprise me.
I think my favorite late death time Nitro moment was there was one at the very, very beginning of 2000. It was when they were it was like their second or third effort to get Glacier over. Like, he hadn't been seen for a year or so. He just shows up and they put him out in the ring against, like, can't remember who it was. It was some jobber. My jobber type guy. They get in the ring, the bell rings, and then just out of nowhere, like, Ming and Terry Funk come brawling down the aisle through the ring, and the match just stops and ends, and they go to commercial.
One of the train wrecks I remember from late Nitro, they had a match. Terry Funk was involved.
So when he got kicked by the horse?
Yeah, it's not only because he almost got kicked by the horse. It was the fact that they had to mute the crowd because the Jumbotrons in the arena weren't working. And they were getting bars and time code.
Well, you know something, I'll tell you this much. When I went to see Impact a few weeks back, which... said it before, and I'll say it again. You want to know how big of a sap I am? I actually paid for my ticket.
And you didn't get an insurance quote and get your paper?
No, I didn't. Although I did get a free TNA Wrestling DVD and a hat.
It's not
horrible.
A direct
insurance hat. Yeah, hey, a snapback hat, baby. I'll take it. But the problem with their tapings, if you ever go to see one, is the fact that they don't show any of the backstage segments at all. All you get are the matches. So they'll tape an episode in, like, you know, 45 minutes.
No,
I get why they do that, but it's stupid for the people that are there. I mean, I know they do it just because when the spoilers get posted, I mean, you can't have really a complete result because you don't see everything that happened. They still have something they can use, but it's confusing to the people who are sitting there watching, like, two or three tapings, because something happens on the next show that you just don't really understand because you didn't see the backstage segment that's explaining why it happened.
Yeah, that's
why when you read Impact spoilers, when you're finished, you just kind of go, what the hell did I just read?
It's like that line
sense,
from
nothing ties it
about
together.
Oh, I'm sorry. What was that? I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Typho, can you just repeat the last part? What you said?
I was just saying that why when you read the Impact spoilers online, nothing makes sense, and thinking, what the hell did I just read? Because the person writing it did not get to see the backstage stuff that probably set up half the stuff that's happening. That's why once you see the show, it makes a little more sense. Still, probably not that much, but. And it's got to be even worse for the tapings they're doing now on the road. Like, they taped in the shows in Macon a week after they taped, two or three shows, the Impact Zone.
Mm-hmm.
Not only are they seeing tapings without probably backstage segments, but they're also, 3 weeks ahead of what they've seen on TV.
And apparently, according to a source that I have, the Macon shows were not very well attended. That there were camera shots showing that the spit side of the arena, where the hard cameras are usually set up, there was hardly anybody sitting over there. That the upper decks should have been tarped off. That they might have had 2,500 people there, and there's no guarantee of how many of them were paid.
Well, the Civic Coliseum, I will say this much, the Civic Coliseum in Knoxville was pretty filled up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's TNA's backyard, though.
True. I was going to tell you something. Oh, I don't know if I told you this, but we had my sister's birthday party about 2 weeks ago.
All right.
She's going to New York City.
Awesome.
Yeah, for her birthday party. She's always wanted to go to the opera.
Okay.
The Metropolitan Opera. So we, all of us as a family, pitched in together. We got her a trip to the New York City. A hotel right on Times Square, and for her birthday, she's going to get to see La Boheme at the Metropolitan Opera.
Okay, that's just amazing.
Yeah, and I have told her that I want a picture of Madison Square Garden.
You should also tell her that she can get into the lobby, and she needs to get you a picture of Vince McMahon's square on the Madison Square Garden Walk of Fame.
I just hope those damn dirty hippies are gone by the time she gets there, consarn it.
Nah, a little Occupy Wall Street never hurt nobody.
Except for the 2 dozen people that got fired from from that coffee shop.
I didn't hear about that. I heard about the fire, about the riot that broke out at one of these sit-downs.
Yeah, but because of Occupy Wall Street, 2 dozen people got fired from a coffee shop in got fired from a coffee shop down near Zuccotti Park because they had no business.
Hmm. No, I know one of the Occupy events actually broke out in a bit of a riot.
Oakland.
Thank you. I only came across half of the article.
Yeah, the Oakland protesters took over the port of Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
People in Oakland getting violent. I'm shocked.
Mm-hmm. There was a handful of... Go ahead.
And football had nothing to do with it.
Just this one time, though.
I believe they were still wearing their spikes and face paint, though, anyway.
That makes for a better
visual.
The term
they're using now for it is, now it's Occupy World Street.
I don't think they're going to get too many sit-downs any in other countries, except maybe Greece. And not to get too terribly political, I think they have a point. I just don't think it's going to do anything.
Well, Nikki, I think you know where I stand politically, so I'm not going to say anything because that's a can of worms. I don't want to get...
No, that's fair. I just, you know, like I said, I think they have a point. I've already had this discussion with Jason. And despite the fact that we have similar leanings, we couldn't be more far apart on this one. But we are not a political show.
No. Though I would like to share with you a bit of wrestling information that I heard a couple days back.
Yes.
From what I can gather, Jim Ross and a few of the people were in New York recently filming some new roundtables for WWE 24/7.
Cool.
And I do know one of the topics will be celebrities in wrestling.
Oh, I can just imagine where some of these stories are going to go.
And speaking of that, I finally got to see the documentary Memphis Heat this past weekend.
And how was it? I haven't got my hands on it yet.
Find a copy.
Find a copy, watch it twice, right?
It is very, very good. They interviewed everybody. They interviewed Jackie Fargo, Dave Brown, Jerry Lawler, the Boogie Woogie Man, Jimmy Valiant. They interview superstar Bill Dundee, Jerry Calhoun, Jimmy Hart. I mean, if they were in Memphis at one point, they were in this documentary. They tell the story about who thought up the famous empty arena match with Lawler and Terry Funk.
Okay.
Which I love only because of the promo for it, which says Jay Lawler is the son of a jackass. He is a lover of chickens. And it is worth it alone to hear them talk about Andy Kaufman. It's nothing most fans don't already know, but it's good to see it all written out.
Yeah, seeing it from the eyes of the guys who were there, the guys who made it happen.
Yeah. Although I will say that my favorite part of that whole thing was they made a film, I want to say it was about 25 years ago, and they showed it all the time on Comedy Central called I'm from Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Which essentially is a work video of the whole feud.
I've actually seen that.
And they Jerry Cal. It's probably the only film in the history of everything where you'll see Robin Williams and Lance Russell within 5 minutes of each other.
I've seen this. Because I wanted to know, because I didn't see Man in the Moon.
You want the truth, hun? You didn't miss a whole lot.
Okay, I know I didn't see Man in the Moon, and I've always heard stories about the whole Kaufman incident. And watching this, I'm like, this is the kind of heat that if Michael Cole was actually a wrestler, and he's not. He is unfortunately a bad commentator, but this is how you get heat and still have people come into the building to see you.
Exactly. My favorite part of the whole thing is I read Jerry Lawler's book.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I don't know if you read it. I recommend it. I think it's a great book.
I haven't had the opportunity, and I will be needing to replace some of my autobiographies.
Well, you can find that cheap online on eBay. I mean, there are some... There's one whole segment him talking about his libido.
Okay.
So it's not for the kiddies, but just hearing them talking about, you know, all the backstage stuff about working in the territories is just great. But he tells this great story that, you know, after Kaufman died, you know, he said that on TV, you know, because he was the bad guy, and this is when kayfabe was around, he couldn't really say much about it. He was inconsolable for several days because he and Andy really got a good, strong friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Andy legitimately loved professional wrestling. And when it was going strong, him and Lawler, Andy had said on more than one occasion, he said, you know, if I could, I'd stop everything I'm doing and just do wrestling full time.
Right.
He loved it that much, but after he had passed, his girlfriend named Lynn Margulis was going through his personal effects and found a shoebox in his closet and opened it up, and it was full of all the paychecks he had gotten from Memphis. He never cashed any of them.
Really?
No, he was just happy to be there. I mean, he took the... He never bothered to cash.
Well,
the story that they didn't quite know how much to pay him because, you know, he's not exact. Because, you know, how much do you pay an actor like this? Because, you know, nowadays, of course, almost everyone has those, you know, like personal appearance contracts and everything. But they didn't have those back then.
Right.
And they wrote Andy a check for $2,500 for his first appearance, and he was ashamed to take it. But it's a fascinating read, and the documentary is just awesome.
I'll have to look into that.
In Memphis Heat, it's really, really good. You go, oh gosh, I want to say it's MemphisHeatTheMovie.com.
Okay.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to check it out real quick. You guys go ahead and talk.
Go for it. I'm actually doing something silly right now, and I'm going to WWE Corporate because the link that Brian gave me does not allow me to actually apply for the general manager position. Yes, I am being a doofus, and I'm looking.
I would.
So... Okay, communications. Let's try the communications tab. Traffic manager, international digital director, writer assistant, senior associate producer, producer, media product manager, international digital director, editor, creative writer, production manager. Nothing here for general manager.
Well, crap.
No, hang on. I'm looking for a couple other places here. Nope, nothing in administration or general management. Come on, guys. I wanted to apply.
You know, this all said, we forgot to mention something that happened in Sheamus's home country this week.
Just because there was another fella there that... A few of us, I don't know. Did you ever think he would go back?
After the screaming in the ears incidents, not really.
Okay. Typo, did
John,
you?
To paraphrase John Cleese, it's sad, isn't it? But this is what working for Dixie Carter does to you.
I wasn't going to go there. Typho, did you think that Mick Foley would have ever gone back to the Fed?
Yeah. I mean, I knew the second he left, when he debuted in TNA, I mean, in my mind, it was just kind of biding time until he went back. I knew he'd be back. I will say, though, I enjoyed his TNA run. I thought... For the most part, I thought it was enjoyable. I think my Mick Foley TNA highlight was his night he debuted on Impact. Came into the ring, took the mic, and the very first thing he said was how much of an honor it was to share the ring that Q-Kip just graced.
That's messed up.
Oh, by the way, I did check real quick. The website is all one word, MemphisHeatTheMovie.com.
All right. Definitely take a look into that. So, you've heard what we're talking about. Did you think Foley'd come back?
You know, interesting. Do you remember when he made that book of his Countdown to Lockdown?
Yes.
And WWE promoted it on their TV show?
Yeah.
I mean, the company loves him. He and Vince McMahon, for all their contentiousness, have got to have a good enough relationship where they're willing to promote that book on their own TV show. So I kind of knew they were going to come back. I didn't know when it was going to happen, but I knew he'd come back eventually. You know, once he realized what it was like in Florida, he'd come back north.
I honestly, you know, I don't know if I can answer this question. I don't know if I can honestly answer this question, but I'm glad to see that he is involved. I mean, he got out there. He was, I believe, special guest referee, and he cut a promo. And if you dig around on YouTube, there's at least two fan cams of it. My money is on that he will be the replacement general manager just off of his tweet, "I've never ridden on a skateboard." So, just a thought.
Too bad he can't bring Jeremy Borash with him. The tweet and tweet connect needs to live on.
If Tanay hadn't signed a deal, I would have asked Foley to bring him along, but I don't think the Fed would take him.
Who?
Mike Tanay.
Oh, the professor.
Because I think the professor could actually be the professor in the Fed.
Maybe he might actually learn how to show at least one or two actual facial emotions.
Maybe.
Got to say, Mike Tanay, something from last night during the James Storm Robert Roode match. I actually used this on the TNA Creative Twitter. But right as the match was starting, Tanay said something about he was talking about the difference in styles between Storm and Roode. He said something like, James Storm likes to use strikes to weaken his opponent. And I think my tweet was something, I quoted that, and then I said, I'm not sure if Mike Tanay was describing James Storm or every wrestler ever.
I don't know. I just think, you know, I think the only reason that Tanay signed is just the fact that the Fed won't take him. And this is the only way he can be on TV.
I wonder why they won't take him.
Because he's old.
Age is one factor. The unfortunate, he'll probably still have WCW stigma. And they're not going to spend time breaking him down and building him up again like they did with any of the WCW people they wanted to keep.
They were too busy embarrassing Jim Ross to embarrass another announcer right now.
Right, and it sounds like, you know, going back to the top of the broadcast, the fact that it's still going to be another week or two before we get this crazy nonsense with Cole behind us. I will say thank you to whoever it was at the Greenville SmackDown that had a little bitty sign that popped up every now and again in the background that just said, "Fire Cole." I still cannot get Fire Michael Cole to trend during a WWE show. Oh. Gentlemen, I think we've done enough damage for one night.
Yeah, I think we have. It's always a pleasure when you let me come on. Thank you all so much.
Right, it's always good to have you on board. VRM, Typho, thanks for coming by. The answer is you're welcome. Oh, wait.
not at all for a second.
No, you're fine. That definitely means we need to get out of here. So, gentlemen, let's call it a night.
All right. Good night.
Y'all take it easy out there.
Night, gentlemen.
Night, everybody.
If you would like to leave a question, comment, or if you want to find out any information on our podcast and our services, please send an email to clw83network@gmail.com. Again, that's clw83network@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the CLW83 Network. Online, on demand, and on the go.